In the world of sales 2.0, you need to know what is the cutting edge. Today, we'll talk about it on Linking Into Sales.
Linking Into Sales is brought to you by Martin Brossman and Greg Heyer.
I have a special guest, Kathy McCullough-Testa, that's the Special Events and Community Information Coordinator with the Town of Duck.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate being here.
I've been watching your great work. You're kind enough to come to one of my classes in the Outer Banks, and just so excited to have someone on the show that, to me, is marketing a town with social media and doing such a great job.
Yes, definitely. It's part of our brand.
So, Kathy, in teaching around the state, I really realized how moving into this new world of keeping a presence on the ground and in the air, which I call the web, is quite challenging for adult learners, especially in towns where they're accustomed to, they've mastered the art of one-to-one referrals, but being able to manage that on the web is a whole new world for them ongoingly. And you've taken it on and to me done a fantastic job with the Town of Duck. Could you talk about the beginning and getting people involved in it?
Well, one of the things when I first started with the town, it was about 7 years ago now, one of the things I was responsible for was the website. And the website needed a major overhaul. And that was the first thing I did. Because we were trying to drive people to the web. One of the things about our town, and some towns aren't as unique in this, we are a resort town. So a number of our property owners are non-resident. Mm-hmm. So how they would get their information back then was the web and email. And now, you know, we ventured into the other social media, the emerging media, because it is more immediate and easier for them to get to when they're on a smart device, say iPhone, a Droid, a tablet, that sort of thing. So it was an evolution per se. We had to get that base site down. One of the good things about the base site is it provides information and it's static. So if you want to find something that's there all the time, it's there. One of the bad things about the base site is there's nothing interactive about it. Mm-hmm. And to have open and transparency in government, and also to let people know what we're doing. And, you know, when you're talking sales, we sell service to our community. Mm-hmm. We want them to know what we're doing. We want them to know what events we're having. We want them to have input if we're looking at some sort of beach revitalization plan. So those are the things that when we started to look at social media or how to get input other than email or a typical, you know, traditional newsletter, print media, what would we do? And the first place we went, we actually went to Twitter first, mm-hmm. before Facebook.
Excellent.
And that was about 4 years ago now. Yeah. And then linked Facebook into Twitter. Mm-hmm. And reason being was we weren't sure what was going to work and how it was going to work best. Mm-hmm. Kind of a backward evolution.
Yeah, when you think about it. I don't know. I'm known Wayne Sutton for years, and he was a champion of Twitter long before people realized its potential.
Well, I think it's that immediate, you have 140 characters.
Yeah.
People read it. They read it quick. You can get information out quickly. And wherever somebody is, if they're following you and they're interested, they got it.
And now it's really the doorway to the media or to be the media. It's almost like having your own broadcast station.
Yes, and then you link back. We link it back to our website. So you push the traffic back to the site if they want more information on what you're tweeting out. We do the same thing with Facebook as well. And, you know, we do use hashtags, and we do, you know, kind of cross-reference what we're promoting. If we're doing something with the business community, which we do events with our business community, mm-hmm. we will link to their Facebook page as well, or put their website on if they don't have a Facebook page. But we do a lot of cross promotion back and forth between the town and our various businesses on the joint events that we do, which we have one coming up. You know, we have a Yuletide celebration. We do Jazz Festival. There are a number of other ones in the works that we have meetings with our business community to start to do some joint town and business events. And that's how we work together. We use social media as a tool for that.
So you have really two jobs. One is communication with all the people that aren't there during the off-season times.
Yes.
And the second is, of course, letting the world know what's great about Duck and what you have going on, which brings business and keeps the value up at the town.
Yes. I communicate with all of our visitors. Mm-hmm. They are just as interested as the homeowners and the property owners in Duck. One of the things that we found very, very interesting as we were going through this, especially during times of emergencies when a hurricane comes through, is folks tend to come every year, the same week, in the same house, and they've been coming to Duck for 20 years. So they view that as their home. And they want to know what is going on with that house that they're staying in just as much as the person who owns that house. Mm-hmm. And they're online looking and asking questions and also wishing the best for us if we are in the middle of a hurricane or there's something happening. But they also do ask questions, which we can answer. So very quickly, now, one of the things that we do, if it does go into where there needs to be more of an exchange, we do push them to email. Mm-hmm. Just because of public records laws. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a quick question on what day is trash day, we can answer very quickly and link them to the website. Some of the other things that we've done, because social media is shifting, we've gotten into Instagram mm-hmm. as well. And I don't even know if I'm pronouncing this right. Pinterest. Because of the photos.
Right.
You know, we'll post a photo. And we also use Flickr as our photo gallery. Mm-hmm. So we'll pin those to Pinterest, link them back to our website. And what it does is it markets the town. It markets our events. It markets our boardwalk. It markets the beach. It markets our business community. We do have a Google map with our business community on it as well. It's a walking map of Duck, basically. So it's a total marketing tool for visitors as well as people who live on the Outer Banks, residents, to come and see what's going on and take advantage of that.
One of the things I hear from working with chambers and others is just the resistance to moving from a world where we had a static website that it was done for us to a world where the business stays engaged online, and obviously learning the new behaviors. I mean, you have a smartphone with you all the time, so you could be a little reporter for the town at any moment. What advice would you have trying to, if someone's trying to encourage the members of the town to go, hey, you need to be on the directories, you need to get involved with it, because it doesn't just help your business, it helps the whole community, the county, and the whole area.
I think it helps to build trust mm-hmm. with your community, because let's face it, not everything's great, and you know, and when you have a town, not everybody's or a business, not mm-hmm. everybody is going to agree with what you do, and there may be questions, and there may be a need for change, and it provides that open dialogue, so that when you do come across an issue, you do have that trust already built in, where you could work together and solve it, and that's one of the things that's important. It also builds a group of people that some of the times answer the questions for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not answering mm-hmm. them. I may not be looking 24/7. You know, we do all have to sleep at some point. Mm-hmm. So somebody else may see that and say, well, here it is. It's on their website.
Right.
It's really interesting to watch how people interact when there are questions on a page and they know the answer before we even get to it.
This is so important, because what you're talking about is every town wants more involvement of their own community in the town. So that you're creating an environment for the town to be participating in their own town.
Yes, and I think one of the things that, you know, I've heard, and some people in town say, well, somebody could be posting something on Facebook that doesn't live in town. Yes, that's true. But maybe they come to town because they go to a play, they go to a sporting event, they go to a restaurant, and they see something they like, or they see something that they would like to just make a recommendation on. That's important, because you're selling your town. You're not just selling it to the people who live there or the people that own property there, but you're selling it to others who come there, as I said, to shop. They mm-hmm. come there to go to the beach. Mm-hmm. They'll come there to go to a cultural event or a sporting event, walk on the boardwalk or go to the park. Mm-hmm. So you're basically selling it to everybody, and also potential businesses who may want to come in if you have that kind of open environment and they feel comfortable there. It makes it easier to bring people in.
The other thing is, when people don't know, they tend to make up the worst. You know, and so the lack of dynamic communication will get people usually to make up on their own something that doesn't serve your best interest.
That's true. It is. And we also use Google+. We use LinkedIn. We've, you know, ventured into a few other things. There's a tool called Nixle, and it's more of a public safety tool, which is an automatic text goes out. You do have to subscribe. Mm-hmm. And it's more for an alert or an advisory if there's a traffic event or something that we need to get out to people quickly. But they do link. A lot of these tools link together. That links to Facebook and Twitter. So you're seeing where more things link. But one of the things that I would advise is folks is to pick what works best for them.
Right.
They all don't work for everybody.
Right.
And also, there are some great, I would call them aggregators out there, like Hootsuite, TweetDeck. They're good for the ease of use, but they may not actually target an audience the way they should. Because some of these sites like pictures, some of these sites like 140 characters, they're all very different in, you know, who they're targeting and how they're targeting. So ease of use may not always be the best way to market, whether it's a town or a business.
And you don't just want to spray and pray. You want to really make sure you're keeping that personal touch on each one of these
exactly
in the right order. And we talked a little bit offline of how, for example, using Hootsuite on Facebook isn't going to get as much engagement as directly posting. Because, of course, Facebook wants you to come on to it as well, and then they can show you that. So they're not going to tip their hand to a third party distributing the data. They're going to tip their hand for people using their own system.
That's right.
So you've talked about the information and resources. One of the big concerns people have is, what if someone talks negative about us online? And you know this. And what would you talk about that? Because that gets into the reputation monitoring, and you have policies you work out of. Talk a little bit about that, because that's one of the fears that stops a lot of people in this area.
Oh, it does. And I think there are a number of governments that are afraid of that. One of the things is, we do have a policy posted. We do have a Facebook use policy. And there are a number of things that we will take down, whether that's marketing a specific business, because it's not a commercial site, it's a town site.
Mm-hmm.
Any event that's not town sponsored, profanity, political activity.
Mm-hmm.
If you're even if you're praising a single council person or a single employee, like naming employees, or because that's not what the site's for. So we look at those things. Now, if somebody has a negative, a legitimate negative opinion, it's there. We do address it, and one of the things that we do is we will take that offline, attempt to contact that person, and discuss it and see what we can do. But one of the things about social media, and this is maybe it's my perception or my belief, but I'd rather know what's going on out there, and if there is something negative, so that we can talk about it and address it and make sure that we can take care of it, hopefully, you know, not that everyone always agrees, instead of us being blindsided by it. So if there is something going on in the community, it's good to know, because we can work with people to decide whether it is something we need to address, something that needs to change, or it's a one-off, or whatever that is, or they just need more information before, you know, they made a decision before without information. You just don't know why that's coming out there. But it gives you some time to do some personal contact with people.
It's so clear, because if someone's upset, they're going to post online anyway. And it's really better that if they don't like you, it's in your front yard, than across town building a little protest march that you don't even know is going on.
Oh, exactly. And then it just hits you at a meeting, and you wonder where it came from. It comes out of left field. This way, you're able to work with people and address it.
If you care and say, let's take this offline, we'd like to address it, or email it, people see that and go, my gosh, the town actually cares. So it enhances the total credibility and trust of the area as well.
Exactly. And it shows that, you know, we're there to serve the public. That's our primary goal. And if somebody has a concern or a complaint or praise, those are things that we respond to. Everything that's posted on Facebook, we respond to.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's just thank you or a like, you know, it's really hard when you're putting things out there when a hurricane comes through to hit like, because, you know, I wish there was a dislike button for some of that stuff.
Right.
But because, you know, when you see somebody's, you know, waves coming up to somebody's beach steps, that's a dislike button.
Right.
But you do want to make sure that you acknowledge the fact that somebody was paying attention enough to post something.
Yeah.
And so that's what we do. You know, we monitor it, and I do get alerts, you know, on my phone, basically telling me when somebody's posting or when somebody's liking something or when a new person likes a page. So I know what's happening on those, and you can set that up to do that. I think one of the other things that you know, people use it, maybe don't look at as much. You need to look at the statistics.
Yeah. And analytics. So yeah. Insights, analytics, and data. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, you look at it on Facebook versus, you know, Google Analytics on your website, and who's accessing it, where they're accessing it from, the age ranges, you know, versus, you know, male versus female, as well as, you know, what types of tools. Mm-hmm. And for a website, we found that a majority of people are now using smart devices. They're mm-hmm. using tablets and they're right. using phones. So website design has to be a little different, or you mm-hmm. have to have sort of a mobile-enabled part yep. of your site for at least those things that people are hitting the most. And you can tell that by your analytics.
Right.
And then on Facebook, you know, we can see for us, the majority of our users are women
mm-hmm.
In a certain age range. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when you get to Pinterest, it's kind of the same. You know, I'm seeing more males getting onto Pinterest, but it's still female-oriented. Mm-hmm. And it's picture-oriented, pinboard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a picture, if somebody likes a picture, then they click on it and go back and find out more. And that's what you need to do. So those are the things you have to look at, who is actually using it, and then also what that audience, why they're using it. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because, you know, a number of our, or a fair amount of our population is older, and they've pretty much, the majority of them have moved into the iPhones and the Droids and the iPad, you know, and they're either FaceTiming or Skyping their grandkids, and they use these tools, or their grandkids set them up on Facebook or Twitter so they could just get information about the town.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they'll get tweets about the town.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really know how to use it or tweet back, but they'll use it for information.
Alerts. And information.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm sure once their grandkids start talking to them, they'll learn how to talk back quicker, too.
Exactly.
You find out that's a big motivator.
Exactly.
And I understand completely. Yeah. I just talked to a person. He says, I'm getting on Google+. Why? Because my grandkids are showing up as pictures there. I'm going to want to keep up with them. Well, what we're talking about really is the marketing of the town. What is the real meat and potatoes return on investment people get from doing this sort of stuff? Because you've seen it, and you're a good person of keeping track of, are we actually getting results? What are some of the ROI of these efforts?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to put a dollar amount to something when you're a town.
Right.
But the results that we're getting is, if you look at an event, our event attendance has increased.
Mm-hmm.
We have a jazz festival that started 6 years ago that was a one-day thing that the town did. Now it was a Sunday. Now it's a Wednesday through a Sunday, but the Wednesday through Saturday events are all town business-sponsored events. So the restaurants are having bands, the shops are having specials, people are staying open longer.
I'd call that ROI.
And our sponsorships went from probably about $12,000 the first year, cash sponsorships, to close to $40,000
wow.
this year. So there is, you know, our business community is investing back in us as well.
Yeah.
We have restaurants now that sell food at the event, which we didn't do the first few years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a bid RFP process for that as well. So people want to be involved. And then this Yuletide celebration, which is a 2-day event, which features like a tapas crawl
mm-hmm.
and specials at our retailers, has grown out of that. Last year was the first year that happened, and they came to the town to do that. We had been wanting to do something, but we couldn't get that momentum on our own. But after the jazz festival, our retailers and our restaurants are basically saying, hey, we can capitalize on this and make our season longer. Because, you know, in the Outer Banks, season's only
mm-hmm.
really a kind of a tourist season
mm-hmm.
season. And so it's April-ish to end of October and like right around Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
But we can extend that a little bit more by offering specials and events to get people in.
You know, what you're talking about is real economic growth. It's really, there's so many beautiful towns I've seen where I've literally talked to owners and said, I know your store went out of business, but could a few extra sandwiches have made a difference? And the answer is often yes. And so that travel through business, the slightly extended hours, Duck's a place that sounded like it was doing pretty good when you came and you made it better working with this. But some towns are struggling, and this could be a tipping point for them.
Well, I think it's one of those things. It's a paradigm that sometimes people how can I say this? It's government and business working together. And that sometimes people don't think that that can be done.
Right.
But it's very doable.
Yeah.
And it's very doable where it makes a difference. And I think one of the other things that's unique about us, we do have a lot of very small shops. You know, they are small business. We don't have, there are no real chains in Duck, mm-hmm. huge chains. I think there's a gas station, but that, and right. a bank, but those are things that kind of have to be.
True local owned.
Yes. But mostly everything else is truly locally owned. And so those people, they may not live in that community, but they live near that community. And they have a total vested interest in not only making their shop work, but the shops around them. Because if somebody goes into the shop next to them, there's a fair chance they're going to go into theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And even the restaurants will get together and sit down and decide how they're going to do the tapas crawl and work together and promote each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they all want to stay in business. And yes, there's some competition, but they all know if they all are succeeding to some level, you know, it's everybody is succeeding. So yeah. It's very interesting to watch people that you think might compete actually really work together because it's helping everybody in the town.
Yeah, this is such an important thing, but I want to tell you, this doesn't always happen initially. I mean, it's my experience of it working looks more like the story of Stone Soup. You know, the resistance. I don't know if we want to be on the web. I don't have time for that. And then one person starts getting more business. And then someone else wants to know, you know, maybe I have some carrots I can contribute to this and something else.
It took a while. And yeah. There were people that jumped on board early. And then there are now people realizing the benefit. There were a couple eateries that I really wanted to get involved and contacted and never really paid attention. And this year they called me.
Yeah.
Seeing what was happening with everyone else and seeing that they were probably one of the few that weren't participating. And so people now were like, well, why aren't they participating? So they jumped on board, but they had to see the benefit. And it was hard at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my first couple years trying to work with the business community, it was hard. They didn't know me.
Right.
I was an
You're
unknown.
The outsider.
You know, the whole program was an unknown.
Right.
They weren't sure what was going to happen. We had to prove ourselves by doing events and putting things out there and do it slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we're at this point, they really want to do it much faster. And, you know, one of the things that's great, mm-hmm. but it's also there's only so many people to do the work.
Right.
So you have to kind of pick and choose. It's now I think we're at the point where we're picking and choosing what's actually going to work.
Wow. And I just want to encourage people, just Google Town of Duck. D-U-C-K, and you'll see a lot of the good work. What shows up at the top is the town, which you'd want. Right after it, what shows up is Twitter, which is clearly well-earned from what you said. Following it is the Facebook page, then some other, then images, because you've created content that's there, and then a nice Wikipedia listing as well. And then if you go over, I just took a little time and look at it, look at image, you've tagged enough images that are appropriate and relevant for the town. They're showing up in the
image
area.
Our images are actually first that we've tagged. All of those are Flickr feeds, actually.
Excellent, excellent. And then if we go under video, you have wonderful videos because you've utilized links on them. And the truth is, none of this is this. We aren't talking about setting up $1 million TV station or something. You know, you're literally doing it. It does cost time and money, but we're doing something where this would have been millions of dollars to pull off to get this type of exposure. Not so many years ago.
Definitely. We have our own YouTube channel, and it did start with first doing some professionally produced PSAs.
Nice.
And we still do those.
Right.
But we also do video just from an iPad or social cam. And lately it's been the iPad. And I'll take a 30-second or 20-second snippet of something that's happening. And automatically it posts to the YouTube page. And then we have different playlists underneath where with Hurricane Sandy, we did some things. But other people did too. And then I watched them and said, well, these would probably be good to put on there so people can see. So not only do we link to our videos, but if there are videos that other people do, and some of those might be our realty companies as they're coming out and covering us or promoting us, talking about the beach, talking about something that we're doing, we'll link to them on that playlist as well. So we're cross-promoting that way as well with our business community. And we did the same thing with Flickr. We search pictures. Same with Pinterest. Mm-hmm. If somebody's out there posting something about duck, we have on our one of our boards is our partners and our businesses. And what we find, we put in that board.
I love this. This is so aligned with my mission of economic growth from the ground up through small and micro businesses. Because instead of looking for someone to come in and bring money, you're activating the town. So then if you have some extra funding that comes in, it's met with the passion of the people engaged. That's going to give it more life than it ever would if you just came in and wrote a check. And I want to share a story of one town where they put a lot of effort in creating a wonderful park with outside funding while the sandwich shop down the street went out of business. Some of that energy in making sure those shops stay open, then there'd be a reason to come downtown and the park would be utilized more.
Well, I think that's even with the park that we did. We implemented a new park, which wasn't there 10 years ago, but we tied it together with a boardwalk, and we did get grants for that, but the boardwalk goes through our commercial district. So you can walk on the boardwalk, view the Currituck Sound, but walk in and out of the shops, get pizza, and there's a walkway system through it, and then it ties, of course, across the street to the other shopping center. So the whole shopping district is kind of tied together through a walking network, and the park is a central part of it. But one of the things we wanted to do was make sure that was all tied together. It, of course, takes people off the street. It makes it more safe.
Yeah.
But it was designed, you know, to work with our businesses.
Outstanding. Well, this has been a terrific chance for us to meet again. I want to thank our friend at the Outer Bank Chamber.
Angie Brady Daniels. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yes, she's wonderful. She's a great friend.
So I want to give a little thank you to her because she's a hardworking trooper there for her community. And if you'd tell people, how can they learn more about the Town of Duck and how they can contact you?
Basically, the Town of Duck is townofduck.com on the website. We are on Facebook. I'm just trying to think which ones are Town of Duck. It's Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Google+, and Pinterest are Town of Duck. The only two that are different are Twitter and YouTube. They are Duck PR. We set those up first as a test. And I think we can change Twitter, which we may do in the off season, but right now it's Duck PR. YouTube's a little harder to do. But they're
wonderful.
Findable. But if you search Town of Duck or Duck NC with a hashtag, you're going to find us because we use hashtags. To contact me, it's long email, but if you just email info, which is info@townofduck.com, and put attention Kathy, it'll get to me.
And we'll probably add your LinkedIn profile to the bio information as well, which would be nice. So they can get
data. And you can get me on Twitter. McCullough Testa is my hashtag. So, you know, I'm out there on Twitter as well as on LinkedIn, but all of that's on LinkedIn as well.
Yeah.
So doesn't just help Duck. It really is helping the Outer Banks because it's bringing people in. And one of the other things that I wanted to mention, because of what we're doing, we just got national recognition from ABC. We're one of the top 10 small town 4th of July celebrations in the country this year in 2012. And those are the things that we're seeing more and more of because of what we do.
Yeah. And what you want, I call it the tail wagging the dog, in the sense of you created all the great content. You got the people engaged. You were the media, and then the traditional media is meeting you and recognizing you and working together.
Exactly.
That's the exciting thing. Instead of hoping someone will discover, you pioneered out there and became the media, met with the traditional media, and has a multiplying effect.
Exactly. And a ton of people come to our site as a news site, especially our Facebook page.
Yeah. Outstanding. Well, thanks so much for coming in the Brossman studio here.
Thank you.
And we encourage people to leave comments, reviews, share it. And thanks again for coming.
I really appreciate being here.